Looking for language concerning truth and mercy in the psalms that we sing today, as we will be preaching from Proverbs chapter 3, where the prophet there will tell us, bind truth and mercy to your hearts, and we'll see that as we get there. All right, so let's move on then in our service to our first reading. We'll find that in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and of names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so here we are in chapter 18 of the book of Acts. And in chapter 18, note that we find ourselves in Corinth with the Apostle Paul, with Priscilla and Aquila. And then also we recognize that the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul comes to an end long about verse, 22, when he returns to Antioch. Okay, so the first thing we want to see is what I call the first act in Corinth. And this is going to be the providence and sovereignty of God. Priscilla and Aquila are in Corinth because Claudius has expelled the Jews from Rome. They thought probably they were being mistreated. Yet, what happens? They meet up with the Apostle Paul and they enter into a kind of unofficial service with Paul since they all labored together. And then notice the time that they spent with Paul a little later on in the chapter bears fruit as they take Apollos aside and expound unto him the word of God more perfectly. That is, there is an informal discussion that takes place where they give some critique to what they heard from Apollos. Apollos is made the better for it and goes on to Achaia and preaches and mightily confutes the enemies of the gospel there. So that's Priscilla and Aquila. We'll see them a little bit later also. Paul preaches in the synagogue is the second thing that we make note of. And we've already discussed that in several scenes. And so we'll move on from that. Notice that he reasoned from the Scriptures. Okay? He reasoned from the Scriptures. It wasn't just fine conversation. It wasn't just highbrow learning. It was that he reasoned from the Scriptures with the Jews. And then when... long about verse 5, when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, notice it says that Paul was pressed in the Spirit. It's a very interesting phrase that is used here. The original does tend to help us to think that this is the Holy Spirit that is pressing the Apostle Paul. Interestingly, we were talking earlier today about modern versions. Some modern versions read from this passage, instead of being pressed in the Spirit, that Paul was involved in the word or involved in the preaching, or he had given himself wholly to the preaching. And so there is a discrepancy there. I think it's a phrase that's a little difficult to understand in how Dr. Luke wrote it when he said Paul was pressed in the Spirit. I think what Paul was experiencing there is that when Timothy and Silas came and he had some greater help and some greater unanimity with them, that the Spirit made use of that to grant him an unction, a strength to dispute even more vehemently with the Jews in the synagogue. Notice that there was there's a change in the word here. In verse 4, we have he reasoned in the synagogue and he persuaded the Jews. But then in verse 5, it says that he testified. And of these three words, I can tell you that the word in verse 5 is the strongest of all. Because Paul was, as we will say, pressed by the Spirit of God. He was given an unction from the Spirit of God in that preaching such that it was with power. He was pressed in the Spirit. I think that's what's being said there. It is a difficult passage to understand, perhaps in its fullness, and maybe when we get to glory, we'll understand it more fully than we do today. But that's what I think is being said there. Okay, so, and then notice there was an end to the preaching, right? What did they do? They blasphemed and opposed themselves. And so what did Paul do? Notice it is the same thing that Nehemiah did in our first reading today. He shook out his skirt. Right? He shook out his skirt as if to say, what? Well, he didn't leave it very implicit there. He said, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles. Okay? And so, notice he came to Corinth, as his wont was. He began in the synagogue. And when, as we read earlier, they judged themselves unworthy of eternal life, he went to the Gentiles. It's the same pattern that we see in many places in the ancient Near East as the Apostle Paul would preach. Okay, so let us take heed then to the preaching of God's Word. Remember what happens, that when we ignore the preaching of God's Word, when we count it as something light, when we refuse to listen for the voice of our shepherd in the preaching of the Word, often what will the Lord do? He'll take it away. Right? He'll take preaching away. Or if he doesn't take it away from us in body, he takes it away from us in affections, in desire, in our minds, in our grasping, in our understanding of it. So we come prepared, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to listen for the voice of Christ in what is preached and read from His Word. All right, now in the second act then, Act 2, first we have with the Jews, now we have with the Gentiles. And so we have the establishment then of what we would call a Christian church in Corinth. So after the Jews of the synagogues disbelieved, Paul went to others, and there were a few of the synagogue that did believe, a man named Justus, a proselyte, and Crispus, the leader of the synagogue. So the original leader of the synagogue is a man named Crispus. He's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as well as Justus. Both of them are mentioned. And so we see the correlation between the two narratives, Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 1 and Luke here in chapter 18 of Acts. There's a revival that takes place. Many Corinthians are converted by the preaching of Paul and the Lord's Spirit. And so, again, we note the sovereignty of God in salvation. The Lord appears to Paul in the night and he says, I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid. Well, many of those people that the Lord was talking about there were not yet converted. I have many people, however, is exactly what the apostle means in 2 Timothy chapter 1 chapter 2 when he says, the Lord knows those who are His. Okay, I have many people in this city. All right, well then what happens is the anger of the Jews of the synagogue now stirs them up, and so they bring Paul to the magistrate. We note, however, Gallio's disinterestedness in his own realm, showing or allowing an unjust accusation of one and the beating of another without a word, and also refusing to hear for the sake of peace in his realm. Okay, so Gallio does not set a good example here of what it means to be a godly magistrate. And notice the name of the one that was beat. His name is Sosthenes, who's the subsequent ruler of the synagogue. And it appears then that the Jews delivered him up to be beaten because he had become a believer, because in the first few words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what do we hear? Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, and Sosthenes, our brother. Okay? So we're not left to wonder why Sosthenes was beaten also, because he was accused by the Jews, although he was, for a time, the chief ruler of the synagogue after Crispus had converted to Christ. So they just can't keep a guy in the chief seat in the synagogue in Corinth. They keep converting. Right? Okay, so that's what we see there. Now, Paul, after this, then, tarried there a good while. Now we're in verse 18. And then by 22, he goes to Antioch after he has been a few other places, Ephesus and Cenchrea, and then also, let's see, he stopped one more place, Cenchrea, Ephesus, Caesarea. Yeah, so he stops three different places on his way back to Antioch. It says that he shaved his head and he had a vow. The shaving of the head then, we would understand this to be the Nazarite vow. And it would, of course, been a particularly lawful thing for Paul to do in that day. Again, the church the church of the New Testament did not displace the church of the Old Testament in a day. And so those things are still lawful. And Paul did take that vow. a vow of dedication to the Lord. That's what the Nazarite vow is. All right, then in verses 23 through the end of the chapter, the third missionary journey begins. Okay, now, notice that by this time, Luke is assuming a little bit of us. He doesn't report anything that goes on in Antioch, really. He just says he went to Antioch. But then, what do we see him do from Antioch? He goes immediately from Antioch into Galatia and Phrygia. Now, hopefully you can remember all the way back to chapters 13 and 14 to understand that Galatia and Phrygia were the places where Paul first went with Barnabas and established those churches in that area. And so notice that he goes there directly from Antioch. Well, the implication there is pretty good. Is it a necessary implication? Probably not. Is it a good implication? It is. That the church, the presbytery in Antioch, tells Paul that as a part of his next missionary endeavors, that he needs to strengthen those men, those churches that are there in Asia Minor, in Phrygia and Galatia. I'm thinking that Paul was forward to do that, but notice that he does it immediately upon his departure from Antioch. This tells me what chapter 16, verses 1 through 4 tell me, and that is that Paul was commended to the grace of God for that work by the church in Antioch in chapter 18, like he was in chapter 16. Okay? So again, we have Paul behaving himself as a man under authority, working with that presbytery there in Antioch. All right, so now we shift gears a little bit. Paul went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. I hope you saw it was in order. From place to place, to place to place, from church to church to church to church, in each of those doing the ministry of strengthening. All right, so then we have a Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. Okay, a Jew named Apollos immediately gets our attention. Because Apollos is not a particularly Jewish name. It speaks of a Greek background. Okay, so whether he was a proselyte or he was born into a mixed household, we're simply not told. We're told of his religious affiliation, that he was a Jew. He has a Greek last name, and we're told also that he's an educated and an eloquent man. Okay, he's educated, but not yet educated in everything that he needs. And so he is disputing with the Jews there. And notice what he does. He knows only the baptism of John. So he has not yet made the step from the baptism of John into the teaching of Christ and the apostles. He's still in that mode. And we can forgive Apollos for that. Because remember, he's living somewhere far away from Palestine. And the news of those travels, that news and all of that information, all that gospel information, well, it's just not gone as far as it would have, say, in our day. And so Apollos is a very eloquent man. Sounds like he's a good debater, a good teacher, a good orator. And with all of that, having armed himself with the gospel of, with the baptism of John and the teaching that it was time for Israel to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, noting the abuses of the present day church. Okay, so Apollos is doing a great job as far as that goes. But notice that the preacher still needs to be educated. Right? And so Priscilla and Aquila take him aside. And we're not told for how long or exactly what they told him. It says, however, that they expounded unto him the word of God or the way of God more perfectly. Not that he didn't have true knowledge. He just didn't have quite enough. He needed to advance in his understanding. He needed to have it more perfectly than he already had. And so notice that Apollos on his own is deficient. Apollos, however, the educated, is effective. And so on he goes then, and it says that he goes to, I believe it was Achaia. Yep, so that would be southern, somewhere in the Corinthian area, somewhere in that region. And it says that once he got there, he had letters, and so notice that he was received as a teacher, had letters to that effect. Notice there's not a haphazard organization, okay? And then it says that he helped them much who had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we see that Priscilla and Aquila profited from the time they spent with Paul, and then them spending time informally, as it were, with Apollos, he profited from that teaching as well, and was brought up in his craft as a minister of the gospel. And so he received then letters to travel to Achaia, and he mightily there convinced the Jews, speaking of Jesus as the Christ. All right, well, that gives us all the way to the end then of chapter 18. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.